year, and it's dated June 30th, 1947, so that would be the 25th year of the Hancock Oil Company. And this is a picture of John Walker Hancock Sr.,
mm-hmm.
Vice President and General Manager, 22 to 29. My goodness, they died so young. So young, my goodness. This does say when they started, the Hancock Refining Company sold $1,500 shares of 8% preferred stock. And gave away 3,000 shares of common stock. Oh, wow. During its business days, only in refining and wholesale marketing petroleum products. Then, on August 1st, 26, taken over by Hancock Oil Company. That's it. But you see, my Uncle Walker, was a refiner. That was... So this really does give survival history, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does.
And here are some pictures. Right. Here we have all the... John W. Hancock, you see, W.T. Hancock, and Uncle Walker. Oh, Mr. Bales, he was
Sheridan Bales?
Sheridan Bales, yeah.
I interviewed Tom Rowan.
Oh.
And he was telling me about his father, who worked for Hancock, in the drilling crew, and then became independent, and then became an independent driller. He was talking about the men who were involved in the oil fields then, and his argument, he mentioned Sheridan Bales, and he said, these are men who really learned their experience in the field.
Yes, he was, I don't know from where.
Oklahoma, probably.
Oklahoma, or, you know.
Yes.
And as it says in this Marina article, a little about it, so not particularly well educated, except by the School of Hard Knocks.
Yes.
My father thought the world of him. He was the nicest man, just so nice, Sheridan Bales.
Uh-huh.
The President's Court. So this is tough because they're going to 25 years of peace. Wow. It says no indebted companies treated the employees fairly, and there's been no industrial strife, yet actually didn't believe in unions and the company because people would come to organize the company, but the employees would chase them away because they got more than they would have gotten from a union then had to pay union dues on top of that.
Yes.
So there never was a union at the company because they were so well treated without it. They never felt the need of a union to protect their working men.
Yes, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tricky during the holiday season, payment of bonus. They always had a bonus. And actually, one year, Sheridan Bales was wondering what he could do, and Daddy suggested he give every employee some stock, and got those any stock, and he did. Mm-hmm. And one year my father did the same thing, gave every employee 10 shares. I honestly forgotten how much it was, but they both did it one Christmas, gave some of their own stock to every employee. So it was anyone who worked
and really identified with the company.
They really did, and they were all loyal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then, part of what your father did then in his relationship with Hancock, then we come to the Tidelands drilling of oil in Long Beach.
Yes, the Long Beach Oil Development Company.
Yeah.
And that was in the security building, and then he had an office where he had his insurance office, the Long Beach Oil Development Company. I know he worked very, very hard on that. My main memory of that one was that he had planned to go on a trip of my mother and myself shipped through the canal and over to Jamaica for this because he was tired. But evidently negotiations came to a crucial point, and the very last minute he didn't go. I remember presents coming down the boat, you know, pouring, but he didn't go. Mother and I went anyway. And he didn't care. Yeah, he stayed. And when he got on something like that was important, and he didn't leave.
Well, I read that Hancock Oil was the major
mm-hmm.
forth in developing Long Beach Oil Development Company. Do you know who any of the others would be? Or
I'm sorry, I don't. Just didn't pay too much attention. I of course, Jonah Jones was really very interested, but he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Was he an officer of
Hancock? No, I guess he was a legal counsel or something. But this is not John would know all John Hancock.
Yeah.
It'd be very wise to talk to John. And I'm sure he would like to tell you what he knows, because he certainly knows a lot about the oil business.
Yeah.
He, starting with the sign that they brought over to the house that I remember.
Yeah. Well, then, along with the sidelines, just in the 50s, we didn't have the problem of crepes earlier, of subsidence in the harbor. Do you have any memories of your father's activities as far as subsidence?
No, I don't, not at all, no. I remember going down the harbor and seeing a well come in once. That must have been exciting. I think that was probably on the Craig Shipbuilding property. It was right down the harbor.
Uh-huh.
It was very exciting. I mean, it's still in the middle of the night, seemed like. No, I don't have any memory of the Sidenitz connection with that at all. Just what everyone would know, reading the paper
uh-huh.
and watching the Edison Company think.
But then you were not involved in any way in Hancock Oil Company.
No, just as an observer. And also when you're growing up, you're not that much interested in your father's business, you know?
No.
Your children are so interested in themselves.
That's right.
We found out, didn't we, later?
Yes. They're very interested in themselves. Well, your father has been described as a great conservationist.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. This was one of his pets.
Oh.
Pets, Ducks Unlimited. He was president of Ducks Unlimited, chairman of the board. He worked very, very hard for them. And because he liked to hunt. He really liked to hunt ducks. But in order to hunt ducks, you have to be a conservationist too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, so you have to be able to raise them.
Mm-hmm.
So he
was this a new organization about the time he became involved with it, or did he?
Perhaps it was. And also a person that you could talk to about that would know far more than I would be his secretary, Clarice Innes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's here and very active and would just be delighted to tell you about things like about him and about Ducks Unlimited, because it got so that most of her work was duck work. You know, he put her on that.
Yeah. I think her name is familiar to me. I think she might be a member of the Friends of the Library.
It's possible she'd be a member of the Fine Arts Affiliates.
I've seen the name on the roster.
Yeah, somewhere. Okay. Yeah, I know she'd be a member of the Fine Arts Affiliates. And anyway, she's just has been retired a little while, and she's still as active. But, you know, I mean, she's one of these retired people. They're so busy,
right, right.
Have a hard time catching up with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But she would know so many things like this because she worked actively with them.
She was the secretary in the insurance
office. The insurance office, yes.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So he maintained his insurance business at the same while he was being president of Hancock.
Oh, definitely. It was always insurance. And then he got John Clark to come in and sort of run it after the war, when John was home from the wars. And then, of course, when he died, John sort of had his own insurance business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, which turned into be Clark Marine Insurance, and it's now run by a young man called Jim Reed. Only it's R-E-E-D.
Well, then your father was very active with the Boy Scouts.
Oh, definitely, yes, he was very active. I can remember he took the boys down in the park to test them on their marksmanship.
Oh.
You know, at the shooting galleries down there. I remember doing, and he was also like the Sea Scouts. And actually, I think he helped talk the Craigs into being so good to the Scouts, you know, the gave the Scout building.
Oh, the Sea, the...
Yeah. No, no, the big mid-headquarters. The headquarters, you know.
Given by the Craigs?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that most of the, you know, the land.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, then your father gave the land for Will
Gary. Oh, Scout Park, yes.
Scout Park.
And hasn't that been wonderful? Yeah. Because that was, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere, I suppose, when they started that. And now it's this great, big, wonderful area that they can have day camps and also overnight camps.
Mm-hmm. When do you know when it was begun? When it began there?
I don't know, but he'd gone to Cerritos Gun Club for years, and I actually helped him write the and he's an author too, let's see, 50 years history of the Cerritos Gun Club.
Oh.
And of course right after that, the Cerritos Gun Club was right where Lakewood Country Club is.
Oh.
And all those houses, you know, duck ponds out there, and I've always wondered about those houses out there on top of the duck ponds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would they sink? But that's where the gun club was.
Oh, I see.
So, and it did exist for 50 years out there. And he had the bungalows from the duck clubs when it finally had to close, moved out to the Scout Park. So, I don't know what year that would be. That's not. But this is how long ago it was.
Are there copies of the 50?
Yeah, I have a cousin. Well, he married my cousin over in Redwood, but he asked me to say, I said, oh, I'd like to get a hold of one of those copies, because he is quite interested in California history, too. He's Larry Burgess is Redlands Library, the archive. And so he'd love to get a hold of that. I don't know. I just don't know. Each member I know had a copy, and I suppose maybe there's one somewhere, but I'd like
to see it sometime, because
yes.
You're interested in organizations like
yes, that. Like the Cerritos Gun Club, 50 years.
You
yeah.
came across, in the Hatch papers, you came across references to the Farmers Gun Club. And we're interested in where was the Farmers
Gun Club. Yeah, where was it? You know?
We think maybe it was out near Cal State Long Beach, perhaps in that area, but we don't know.
Yeah.
And the first reference I ever had to the Cerritos Gun Club was in the biographical information about your father, saying he was a member of it.
Yeah. And, of course, the Boca Chica Gun Club, you know, that marvelous old house they had on the hill there for a long time. And the Farmers Gun Club, I haven't heard about that one. Maybe, you know, John Hancock might know some of these things, because he's a member now at this Bear River Gun Club. My father got him interested in going up there, because my father joined that.
Mm-hmm.
So John just might know a lot of these things,
yes,
you see.
Yes.
Being a man, he's more interested in the gun club, you know.
Well, one of the other contributions your father made, I read, was to Campfire Girls Organization.
Yes, he did.
Of your activities
at Campfire. Yes, and in his will, he left some money to them.
And what had you done with Campfire?
Oh, I just had good service. You know, just the other day, my husband had to go to dinner, so he went down to see Dr. Blair. And so Dr. Blair's daughter was a member of the group. And so he said, now, what were the other girls in the group? And he named off the whole list of all these girls that had been in, and we had them since, you know, Bluebirds started then in first,
you know, I was
second, guardian.
Guardian.
There was second grade then. Now it's into about first.
I think so.
But anyway, we started out with Bluebirds, and we went all through high school.
Oh.
So they really did stay together. And but then I had a group before that. I mean, before I was ever married, I had groups.
Were you a Campfire Girl yourself?
Oh, yes. Yes, at Jefferson. And I was a Campfire Girl, as I remember, because my cousin Alice Jean Hancock became interested. And they were still at Horace Mann, and I was in Jefferson because I unfortunately had skipped these again. But I was really more their age, you see. So anyway, it was a good memory. So I suppose that's how I had a group. because I had a group during the war. No, I had a group during the war because they had a donut sale. And in those days, you had to go around and take orders for these donuts and then deliver these fresh donuts Saturday or Sunday morning. And it was right December 7th of 1941 that we were supposed to be delivering donuts. I remember that part. And I wasn't there. It was all very mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an enormous headache trying to get the girls to take orders. And then sometimes the people would pay them and sometimes they wouldn't. And they wouldn't write the things down on their little slips.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
So were you a camp or a guardian before your daughters were ever in the
Oh, yeah, that was in the war, you see. Mm-hmm. That was in the war. I wasn't married until after the war.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, that was another group. I had many groups. Somehow it just kept on. You know, once you know you're a volunteer, they don't let you go.
That's right. That's right. I'm curious, when we had lived in Berkeley before we came to Southern California, my oldest daughter was in the Girl Scouts, and there weren't campfire wasn't very strong there, but when we came here and we lived over by Los Feliz, so I'm joined campfire and my other two girls in campfire. Is there any reason in your mind why campfire would be stronger than Girl Scouts, or did you even consider joining Girl Scouts?
For some reason, I don't think I heard of Girl Scouts.
I don't really know.
Maybe in Long Beach if some active person got a hold of it. And we still had that wonderful, what's her name, that was in Jefferson.
Oh, Miss Kirkland?
Yes, that wonderful woman, you see, was interested. I was never in Miss Kirkland's group, but she is probably was a very strong leader and interested other people to be leaders, and probably she influenced somebody that I had for a leader.
I met her about a week ago at a Christmas coffee hour, and she evidently, she's saying that her family had come to Long Beach about 1914.
Really?
And her father had been a doctor. But I recognize the name right away because I can remember her from all campfire literature.
Oh, I know. Just wonderful person. And then after she retired, they got her back in the organization and as a board member, you know.
Yeah.
So she's been a great help to them.
Did you have any other activities, volunteer activities?
Oh,
and in the past few years, have you had quite a few? Or?
No, not so many because we sort of go back and forth now. But it was in the junior league, and when you're in the junior league, they work the dental clinic, for instance, the Children's Dental Health Center.
Were you in the junior charity league first?
Yes. And I remember, working very hard with at the time they changed.
Yes. Well, I know in talking with Marge Conley about all the work that they did during the war, I mean, as well as maintaining their families. I guess that was still the junior charity.
Yeah, it was the junior charity like then because, definitely, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Many wonderful women worked a lot, very hard. I sort of scooted through the war years without too much effort not being married. You see, the people that were married and had families had a harder time. Their husbands would go away and they had the children to take care of.
Yes.
And so it was hard on them. But that's when I went to library school at Berkeley. I lived in I House. And I House then had to live in a fraternity house because I House was taken over by the Army.
Oh.
For some, so we lived in a fraternity house. And we had double daylight saving. And I remember walking from the house to a class at 8 o'clock in the morning and running right into a line of cadets because I didn't see them. And it was sort of a brownout, too, you see. A brownout is the distance to being dark.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. They were all out in the street lined up. It's pretty dark at 8 o'clock in the morning.
We were up at Berkeley in November. We went up to the Big Dam. And it's always so much fun to be up there.
It's just totally different, you know. Totally different. And I like Berkeley. We would be at Berkeley and look across the bay and see the fog over there, but we were having lovely weather, you know. It was nice. I enjoyed the brief time I had there.
So you were married after the war then?
Yes. Yeah.
Was Mr. Moore in the service?
No, he wasn't. He was rejected. Yeah, classic. He said, I could have sat at a typewriter. I could have done anything else, but it was just they were being particular. It was particular examination, and the fact that he couldn't march.
So, I think you told me earlier that he was with Hancock Chemical.
Yes, he was, but that was later on.
And now you spend part of the year in Hawaii, or a good part of the year in Hawaii?
No, we come and go.
Oh, lovely.
Well, you're needed both places.
And you have three children.
That's correct.
Grandchildren?
No. They're not interested in children.
I don't have any grandchildren either. I would like to have grandchildren.
Nowadays, there's too many other things to do. And as a woman was saying last night, we were talking, she said she had five sons, but only three grandchildren. And she said nowadays she wouldn't have five sons because it's cost too much to educate, to different circumstances now. So she doubts if she's lucky to have three grandchildren with five married sons.
Are you active in a historical society?
No. Actually, I just happened to go. That particular meeting that Dr. Kate met me, you know. And my friend Eleanor Knox is the one who told me about it, you know, and I understand she just passed on.
I didn't know.
And they announced it at the Historical Society luncheon that we went to Friday, that she just died early this week, you know. So I don't know anything more than that. But anyway, Eleanor is the one that I did know Eleanor here, and she's an old Long Beach resident. And so she thought I'd be interested. She was very interested. So she said, well, come along. So I've gone to many things, even though I don't get to go to the meetings, you know. I go when I can.
You've seen Long Beach change tremendously over the years.
Definitely. We're just talking about security, you know, about locking houses. And all the time the children were going, we lived in this house. We lived in this house just probably 29 years anyway. And all the time that they were going to school, Lowell, Rogers, Wilson, I never locked any of the doors because they never had a key, you know, come and go. Didn't bother giving them a key. But now we lock doors.
Do you go downtown very much? There certainly are changes downtown.
Yeah, I used to, because our hairdresser was in the Farmers and Merchant Bank building, so I'd go down there. It certainly has changed. But I always went to Bethlehem's. I always went to security at the bank at first in time, you see, because my father is a very loyal person, and I think I am too. So they were always good to him. You know, it just sort of rubbed off. You stay with people that you're just being loyal, that's all. It's an old Long Beach
bank.
So, I mean, that's it. So that's your bank. And in Bethlehem's, we always went to Bethlehem's. But it's, of course, moved now. It can't go to the same place.
Well, when you were going there as a child, you and your mother would take the streetcar downtown.
Oh yes, it's on Broadway, and I can remember the conductor calling out the street names. You know, as I learned the street names, as because he would call them out.
Yes.
And it was always Junipero. I remember that Junipero. Cherry Junipero. And then, of course, you'd listen, and then they'd get to the temple, and you'd get off. Yeah. And I liked the streetcars.
Well, mm-hmm. I've heard of women who said they would go downtown and they would take their dancing lessons, or perhaps they'd take piano lessons mm-hmm. downtown.
I've done that. But we always went in, and it was always downtown, and of course our thing was always the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the city.
And if you went to the city, how would you go?
I don't think we went on the red car too so much because it wouldn't take you exactly where you'd want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we probably drove at that time. But I began on the red car, and I remember my little girl, someone took her on the red car up the city, you know, before it really stopped. It wasn't too long ago it stopped, though. And not really.
No. I think it stopped before we moved to Long Beach. Oh, did
it?
62.
Oh, really?
People mm-hmm. never saw it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's not too long ago.
No.
Well, then you have memories of going to the Pike. And
oh, yes, we love the Pike. Yes. And my father, when he was going to college, went to University of Edmonton, and he was manager of the ice hockey team.
Oh.
So I don't know why the ice hockey team came to Long Beach. I don't know that part of it. But maybe they didn't come to Long Beach. Maybe they were playing something in Los Angeles. And anyway, he entertained the whole ice hockey team. And we had a dinner or something. I remember he took them all down the bike. That was a big thing to take these boys and Canada down at our park, but they had a lovely time, you know.
So, do you remember the Pacific Coast Club?
Oh, yes, that was very important. My father would go there for lunch often, and they tell me that he parked, there was always a red place near the door, and he always parked there. He'd get maybe one ticket a year, but they knew it was his car, and he wasn't going to stay there long. But, no, it was a very nice club. We used to swim in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we ever went to the beach there or anything because we could go to our own beach, mm-hmm. right? We did go down there to swim in the pool
mm-hmm.
and have dinner there. And I'm actually looking over some old pictures of the pictures taken when we were all having dinner down there, you know. So, and I was, That's where we were at one of these blackouts that they were reminiscing about at this recent Historical Society meeting, because it was a total blackout, and we were down there having a Ducks Unlimited meeting. They were a showing of their film, and there were many people there, and all at once there was a total blackout. And you didn't even know who you were standing by mm-hmm. in the club, mm-hmm. in the main room of the club. And as Mr. Bales, Neil Anderson, one of my father's friends, he also in the oil business, was so concerned about my mother, who wasn't there, that he started to hike to relive it. You know, 2080 Ocean, the club. It's not that too far. I mean, you can walk, you know. But it was dark with that. And the steps used to come up at Bixby Park. There used to be some steps there on Ocean. You'd climb up and climb down.
Oh.
And he missed them in the dark, and he fell and broke his foot too.
Oh.
Oh. But that was that was all mixed up with Ducks Unlimited and the war years and the Pacific Coast Club.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose the Virginia Hotel had pretty much deteriorated by the time you were.
I don't remember that. All I remember about the Virginia Hotel is that they tore it down just at the time of the earthquake, and the tourists would come down and take pictures of it, thinking it was a earthquake damage, you see, but it was man-made damage. So it was, that was when they destroyed it.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't remember it so much, no.
I believe your father was a member of the Virginia Country Club.
Yes.
Was he a golfer as well?
Not too much, although I did play golf with him. We tried. We were never really good. But I'd play around with him. My favorite course was Catalina Island because it was so pretty.
Mm.
It was just a joy to walk around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was nice.
So you sailed over?
Oh, no, we went on, we went on the big Catalina boat, you know, the big boat. We used to go every spring vacation when I was growing up, we'd go to Catalina for that week, and my father wouldn't stay the week. He'd do the 2 weekends with us. But mother would rent a little bungalow, you know, and she'd always take about 3 other girls. And we had a lovely time, just a lovely time. And we'd climb, then they had the bird park in there, you know, and the golf course, of course, and the pitch and putt course. And then we would climb up to the top of the mountain, look over the other side like we'd be discovering the Pacific. And we'd roller skate down those awful hills, probably driving residents frantic. it was a fun place to go. All through the years. Anyway, I would just do get seasick.